I was beginning to not pay attention to him. Matting loved to talk while his hands were doing lovely things that transcended words. He had slipped one hand between my legs during this last ramble. Lovely things. So the three were afraid you'd all, fall in love with mortals and make more dangerous little demons.
Not all the three.
In the end, it was only Eutempus who ordered us to stay away from the mortal realm. But he does not brook disobedience, so we did as he commanded. He kissed my shoulder, then nuzzled my temple. I never realized how cruel that order was before I met you. I smiled, feeling wicked, and reached back to catch hold of the warm, hard lump that lay against my backside. I gave him a practiced stroke, and he shuddered against me, his breath quickening in my ear. Oh, yes, I teased. So cruel. Ori, he said, his voice suddenly low and tight. I sighed and lifted my hips a little, and then he slipped back into me, like he belonged nowhere else. Somewhere, in the delicious floating pleasure that followed, I became aware that we were being watched. I didn't think anything of it at first. Matting's siblings seemed fascinated by our relationship, so if watching us helped them whenever they decided to try a mortal, I didn't mind. But there had been something different about this gaze. I realized afterward when I lay pleasantly exhausted and drifting toward sleep. It did not have the usual air of curiosity or titillation. There was something heavier about this, something disapproving and familiar. Of course, Matting had sent someone to collect all my belongings. Naturally, that would include Shiny, my brooding, arrogant, selfish bastard of a pet. I had no idea why my being with Matting angered him, and I didn't care. I was tired of his moods, tired of everything, so I ignored him and went to sleep. Matting was gone when I woke. I sat up, bleary, and listened for a moment, trying to get my bearings. From downstairs, I could hear the ceaseless ripple of water and could smell Hera's perfume. Upstairs, someone was walking, making the floorboards creak. Intuition told me it was very late, but most of Matting's people were godlings. They didn't sleep. From somewhere on the same floor, I heard a woman laughing and two men talking. I yawned and put my head back down, but the voices impinged gently on my consciousness.
Didn't tell you. Your business, dammit. You have no...
It sank in slowly. Shiny. And Matting. Talking? It didn't matter. I didn't care.
You're not listening, Matting said.
He spoke in a low voice, but intently, that made the sound carry.
She gave you a real chance, and you're throwing it away. Why would you do that when so many of us fought for you, died?
He faltered, silent for an instant.
You never consider others, only yourself. Do you have any idea what Ori has gone through because of you?
My eyes opened. Shiny's reply was a low murmur, unintelligible. Matting's was anything but. Almost a shout.
You're destroying her. It isn't enough that you destroyed your own family. Do you have to kill what I love too?
I got up. My stick was there on my side of the pillow pile, right where Mad had always put it. The robe was tangled in the pillows where I'd dropped it. I shook it out and put it on.
Tell you this now.
Matting had regained some of his composure, though he was still plainly furious. He'd lowered his voice again. Shiny was silent, as he had been since Matting's outburst. Matting kept talking, but I couldn't tell what he was saying. I stopped at the door. I didn't care, I told myself. My life was ruined, and it was Shiny's fault. He didn't care. Why did it matter what he and Matting said to each other? Why did I still bother trying to understand him?
He could love you again, Matting said. Pretend that means nothing to you, Father, if you like, but I know.
Father. I blinked.
Father? In spite of everything, Matting said. Believe that or not, as you will.
The words had an air of finality. The argument was over, one-sided as it had been.